everybody. Welcome back to Gamer Heroes. This is Derek on episode 36, I believe. And I've got my buddy John with me. John, how are you doing, man?
Yo, I'm doing well. It's good to be back on the show that we run and podcast that we own, right?
It is always good to be back, man. We also have a guest on the show.
A familiar face or voice.
Ian, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Hi, everybody.
Ian is of House of Turner Cosplay and, of course, has been a co-host of Costume Couture, our cosplay and costuming show. And you've been on Screen Heroes several times.
Yes. I realize, I think the next one is the Star Trek podcast, and I'll be on every single podcast that we produce.
I mean, you say that, but we've got, new shows getting ready to come on board.
Okay. That we produce right now.
So you will never be on all shows.
It is my goal to do that. So, yeah. It's my New Year's resolution.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Well, we're glad you're on a real show right now, so I'm glad to hear that you're here.
What does that say about my show?
That's two here, spelled differently. So let's dive in, man.
Yeah.
Let's get our news out of the way. Something happened today that you told me, and I nearly shit myself. Derek, you played a special game today that I never got to play.
Oh, Stranger Things? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, you sure did.
Yeah, so,
tell us about
it. Last week, actually, they released a totally free Android and iOS game for Stranger Things that essentially is the first season of the show. You start off as Hopper, who, of course, is, the lead police officer, sheriff guy, and you follow him as he's trying to find the kids, and you get the kids along the way. So the first kid you come across is Lucas, for example, and it's a touchscreen game. It's totally free, and it's really a lot of fun. It's got great, 8-bit style music in the realm of Stranger Things and all of that. But you said you haven't played it, right?
No, but I've watched a lot of videos on it, so we're talking, it really gives you, one thing the show did successfully was give you that 80s feel, that vibe, so it definitely kind of hits that mark on the game as well, it sounds like.
It does. I mean, there's definitely some differences, right? I mean, Hopper is, going around beating up security guards and taking, bullet fire and things like that, but it's cool. There's some puzzle-based stuff where you have to, unlock these, security beams, these lasers that you can't touch or they'll hurt you in order to get through different parts of the map and all of that. Ian, I assume you have not played this game.
No, this is literally the first time I ever heard of it. I did not know they were making a Stranger Things game.
Well, I know you have an iPhone, so you should check this out.
So is it free to play right now?
It's totally free, yeah. It's free out there right now. It's basically done in pixel art, kind of top-down, old-school kind of game, like the old Zelda games, for example, that kind of style. And, considering it's totally free, it's great. There are no ads. It's actually got pretty good story because it's based on the first season of the game, and it's kind of to prep you, I guess, for season two that comes out at the end.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
See that? Yeah, I was gonna say that alone, no ads, is freaking phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean that's what was really surprising. I mean, it is straight up free, which is really rare for big games.
I'm downloading it right now.
There you go. Nice.
Are there options to pay in the game or no?
Not that I've found, no. The whole thing seems completely free. There's stuff in the game, you can collect coins and different things, but those are for just, free in-game stuff. There's no real currency.
You don't see that very often anymore. You don't see a big, title like Stranger Things putting out a game like that, and you would expect, some kind of pay-to-play thing, but that's nice. That's a new, nice change of pace.
Yeah, I mean, it's doing really well on the Google Play Store, for example. It's sitting at a 4.8 out of 5 with over 9,500 reviews.
That's good.
It's only been out for 5 days. Like I said, it came out last week. So it's still looking for a big install base, but it's pretty cool. These guys have done a couple of other games before. The company is Bonus XP, but nothing I've ever played. So this is kind of a big step for them, I think, to have a major IP.
Well, well done them.
Well, I'm playing it right now as we speak.
Oh, you're playing it right now?
Yeah, that's how gamer heroes do this.
I'm being a good person, and I'm being polite and waiting until after.
Well, thank you.
I'm giving you my full attention.
But yes, so that's out there.
You've got my attention.
Go check it out. Go check it out. If you like Stranger Things, it's going to be a lot of fun for you. It's the 80s style. It's that story. It's those characters. It's retro gaming at its finest, I think.
And seeing that I was born in 1993, I didn't get to experience retro gaming.
Not the early days of it, no. But the Super Nintendo is considered retro gaming.
So. Oh, there we go. Okay.
Yeah, you're okay, kind of, sort of.
I'm still okay. I'm happy.
No excuse, Ian.
God, 19.
Derek's like being
1993.
Nice.
Yep. I mean, I'd already been watching rated R movies by then.
I was not. So far as I know, I don't know. Maybe my.
Yeah, I was watching Hellraiser. It's a good time. Good year. It's a good year.
Wow. Okay. Fair enough. Oh man. All right. So. What else we have going on in the news these days?
Well, there's some new Blizzard info. I think you would probably be more equipped to handling that story as well.
Nobody wants to just listen to me talk. All right, so basically Blizzard, of course, has really been pushing esports. It's a very big thing for them. They announced the Overwatch League, which has, you know, official teams. We talked about some of the owners a few podcasts ago about how that was going to work. And... they have now said that they're going to have Overwatch League-specific in-game items, basically meaning that skins for your characters, you know, Tracer and Reaper and so forth, can have skins that are specific to the teams.
They're branded skins.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They are,
which is cool.
Branded skins. So
it's like a jersey.
It is. It's exactly like that, right? So there's a PC Gamer article out there that used... two examples, Shanghai Dragons and the Dallas Fuel. And they've got Mei and Genji. And they look really cool. And
they
it
do
is,
look
it's
cool.
Totally like wearing. Yeah, right? It's totally jersey stuff. So that's going to be a thing that's going to be coming up. You can support, you know, your team. Not really sure who I'm going to want to support at this point. There's no Kansas City team, so I have to kind of think about who that might be.
Well, they also announced some appearances from celebrities. Looks like Shaquille O'Neal, J-Lo, and Marshawn Lynch. What a mixed batch, huh?
Well, this is a weird. Such a weird thing, right? Because esports. This is the first real attempt in the United States to make esports legitimate. Of course, it has been in other countries like South Korea with StarCraft. But this is the first real push in the United States where there's legitimate money involved. So we might see some really interesting stuff.
Yeah, I'm looking at the roster that they've released for San Francisco. And I of course, I don't know some of these players, but I'm wondering, wow, $15 million Series B funding.
There's a lot of money.
Well, in guys, it's board. Like, isn't it $10 million just to be a part of the series? $20 million to be a part of the series, Ian, and you still have to pay your players.
$20 million to play the game? I'm confused on what's going on here.
Just to be a part of it, yeah.
So to own a team. So if you want to purchase, if you want to own a Overwatch League team, that will cost you... $20 million to start the team.
I'm good with just online stuff.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, I mean, the owners are not going to be playing.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, though, it's like, guys, we really want you to join our league, except you have to have a shit ton of money to do that.
Well, that's
that.
Most professional sports, though. I mean, look at what the salary caps are for the NFL, or look at what players make in, you know, MLB.
Yeah.
You know, there's players signing $100 million contracts, you know, on teams with, you know, 53 players on the roster.
I mean,
yeah,
right.
This isn't going to be like that. These teams are 12 players max, and it's a $20 million buy-in for this first set of teams. I'm sure that will get more expensive if it's successful.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see. So here's something I'm not quite clear on. Are they going to be showing the first of the League at their convention, BlizzCon, or is there a release date for when the first season is supposed to start?
So BlizzCon's about the championships. It'll be the world championships of basically all of their games, including Overwatch, gotcha. But not the Overwatch League. The Overwatch League officially kicks off in January, with preseason starting in December. And so the League kicks off on January 10th, I believe.
Nice. Okay. Cool. Well, I'm excited to see how this goes.
Yeah, it should be very interesting.
See, I was a bad gamer recently, and I deleted Overwatch from my PS4. But, look, what to make room for other games, I'm sorry. I'm too cheap to buy an external hard drive. so I'll just delete the games I don't really play anymore. But I might re-upload it again, because I've been kind of missing it.
What did you install in its place?
Well, I've deleted it, so I can get the new Assassin's Creed that comes out in a few weeks. And Battlefront 2.
Sure. Okay, alright. Are you going to get South Park?
I want to, but so far, the Assassin's Creed and Battlefront 2 are taking the place of South Park right now.
Interesting. Okay.
I pre-ordered, and when I say pre-order, I purchased it on Amazon at a discounted rate, Evil Within 2, which comes out this Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah. See, I've never really been that into that franchise, so what got you to purchase the new one?
Well, I love the first one. It is creepy, it is scary, it is a good psychological thriller, it is a fun third-person shooter, like, it's everything. Like, it's up right up my alley. So, I enjoyed the first one. I imagine I'll enjoy the second one just as much.
Fair enough, man.
It looked terrifying, so that's why I'm like, nope, I'm good. I'll pass. I want to sleep tonight.
It's up my alley, man. I like those horror games because, like, I really like Dead Space. That was, like, my thing for a while. I just keep playing Dead Space over and over again.
Sure. Well, you know, I've got plenty of games on pre-order here with Super Mario Odyssey and South Park. Just picked up FIFA, as I mentioned last week. So, lots of games. Tons to play. I might pick up Battlefront 2. That's what we're going to be talking about mainly today, so Ian's going to have to sell me.
Okay.
That's his big thing.
Well, I have a lot of questions. I owned and played a lot of the very first Battlefront, and there were some things that I wish they would have done, and I wanted to ask you specifically if they had made those changes in the second one. So,
well,
I mean, let's just dive into it, right?
Well, sure, we can do that. We could go right into Battlefront 2. So, Ian, you were saying that they extended the beta through the 11th, is that
correct?
Right?
Yes, they were going to end it today, but they got so much fan reaction and a lot of talk on the forums and all that good stuff that they want more of it. So they are extending it to the 11th, I believe, at like either 4 or 5 o'clock our time, it will be over.
Okay. So we're recording this on Monday the 9th, and it will be coming out, our episode will be coming out on our brand new day, Tuesdays, for the first time ever. Very excited about that. So if you listen to this the day it comes out, you'll have one extra day to play.
Correct, yeah. 24 hours, go.
So what do we look forward to in this second game?
You
played
the
first
one,
right, Ian?
And I liked the first one.
So what are the major differences?
Let me preface this by saying, remember, this is still a beta. You know, there.
Right, and so for anybody listening who doesn't know, a beta is pre-release. Right, you can consider it early access like they do in Steam. This is a way for people outside of the developing and publishing companies to get a chance to play the game and find bugs, specifically to find bugs, to have those bugs fixed before the game is actually released.
Correct, yes. So I just want to, you know, preface that and say this is not the final product. So just, yeah. But...
Okay, well, tell us a bit, give us the premise for this game compared to the reboot of Battlefront that we got in 2015.
Okay, so this one it's still, you know, a multiplayer online action shooter. It still has that component, and it still has the aerial dogfights and all that, but this also has an added single-player campaign that the first one did not have. Yes.
Woo!
And
that's a big deal.
Specifically, this is all, not all, but this is a lot because of John Boyega, who plays Finn in Last Jedi and Force Awakens. He tweeted EA Games and said, hey, Battlefront's fun, but can we get a single-player campaign? And lo and behold, we have a single-player campaign. So thank you, John Boyega.
Hell yeah. He's been busy. He's the new trailer of Uprising for Pacific Rim Uprising. Phenomenal. Just saying. Just saying.
Well,
so
that's debatable.
I thank him for more than just this.
We'll talk about that later.
Can I say screw you guys?
No, we're not going to get off track. I love Pacific Rim, but we could talk about that another time. But the point you're making about single player is a big deal. I did not purchase Battlefront because I do not really care for most persistent online games like that, where it's online multiplayer only or MMOs. I want a single player campaign that goes on my time frame most of the time. Obviously, I play Overwatch and a few others. But for Star Wars, I wanted a campaign. I wanted a story.
And this, you get that in this. Obviously, with the beta, we weren't allowed to play the single-player campaign because that's still under wraps. That's still very secretive, and they're still developing that. But there's been lots of trailers released. We know that it is in the perspective of the Empire right after the Battle of Endor to basically leads up to The Force Awakens. It is told from the perspective of Iden Versio, who is the leader of Inferno Squadron, an elite Black Ops squad, and by the way, it's a female, so that's cool. And
yeah, that's pretty.
You get
sweet.
To basically see, you know, the Empire's demise through her eyes, and hunting down the Rebel Alliance and trying to piece together what happened, and try and, you know, avenge the Emperor who is dead. And mind you,
okay,
that's 30 years of a story to tell. So I don't know how long the campaign's going to be. They've said anywhere between 4 to 8 hours of gameplay. I'm hoping it's more towards the 8 or more.
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting because, I mean, as far as game length is concerned, there's such a wide range,
yes.
Right? You've got a game like Zelda Breath of the Wild that I poured 65 hours into and still didn't get, you know, I didn't even break 100 shrines. Then you have games like Gears of War, and those games are like 10 to 13 hours apiece. SteamWorld Dig 2 is a 10-hour game, for example. So for this game to come up with a campaign and have it be 4 to 8 hours still seems kind of short.
It does. Now, that's just what the rumor is. There's no
I totally agree.
Confirmed time yet. But they said, because, I mean,
okay.
You know, they're developing
okay.
a lot for the multiplayer as well, so. But, I mean, it just depends on. I'm going to assume it's not 4 hours, because that's ridiculous. But.
How big do you think this game. How big was the beta install? Because I imagine this game's got to be significant.
The
be
beta
huge.
Install, I do not know. I know it took around 3.5 hours for me to fully download it, but that's because I have shitty internet, so, as Derek knows.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an important thing to note, okay? So, earlier today when I had Ian install Audacity, and it took me literally 2 seconds to download it, it was going to tell him it was going to take, like, 6 hours.
Holy
shit.
It said 6 hours, and then it said a day and 30 minutes, and then. Well, I paused it, and I went, this isn't right, and I hit reinstall, and it took, like, 5 seconds, so.
Okay, all right.
I'm like, I have to wait a day to talk to you guys, I'm so sorry.
Guys, we gotta postpone
sorry.
The show.
So, alright, so the beta did not have any single-player content at
no,
all?
No, it had a cutscene from the single-player, and a trailer for it, and that was it.
Okay, so what does the beta have for those of us who did not get a chance to play?
The beta has a few of the multiplayer, I guess, I don't know which one. Yeah, there we go.
Maps.
And modes, that's the word. And one of them is Galactic Assault, The other is a Starfighter Assault. And the other big one is Strike. And so, do you want me to go through each of those three, basically?
Yeah, let's talk. Let's break them down.
Okay, so first one, Galactic Assault, starts on the planet Theed in Naboo during the Clone Wars. So they have done cross-era playing. They have added prequel-era content in here so far. I am loving that. So basically, you either fight as the clones or the Separatists, and the Separatists are trying to get into the palace and take control of Theed, and of course the clone trying to push them back and stop them from doing that. The cool thing about that is that they took from the original Battlefront 2 back in, I think, what, 2005-ish? And they brought back the class system. So you have, you know, the normal assault troopers, you have snipers, you have heavies, and you have officers, I believe. Those are the four main classes. And they each have different abilities, different weapons, different looks, all that stuff. So that's the basis of it. There have been a few complaints on that map, and I for sure have a few of them as well. But it's fun. As a fan of the Clone Wars TV show, they brought back the original voice actors of that to voice the clones and battle droids and the heroes. So that's kind of cool. Because the Clone Wars, you know, was canceled way too soon, in my opinion. So seeing that in this game, especially when Lucasfilm wants to concentrate a lot on the sequel stuff and the original trilogy stuff, is very nice to see, and it's a good feeling for me.
What are some of the complaints?
Well, so you have and it's in every single mode, and you have a squad with you. And it's basically you and, I believe, three or four other players. And you get squad bonuses if you, you know, stick together for a long time. You get bonuses, if you play the objective with another person, what have you. But the problem is, I could be, you know, a level 15 sniper and be really good, but then I'm stuck with, you know, a kid who's 10 years old who hasn't played a game before in his life.
So you're talking about the matchmaking.
Yes.
Okay, so it doesn't match you up against like leveled characters.
Right now, no. It is extremely, extremely, extremely imbalanced.
Right.
To the point where
it sounds like
it's just you know, like I said, you could be fighting someone or alongside someone who, you know, can't aim for shit, and they're costing you battle points in the end.
Fits the Stormtrooper MO, doesn't it?
It does.
That is a common misconception about Stormtroopers.
Don't you know if you're playing a Stormtrooper, your controls are automatically inverted?
So let's talk about this, though. So do you think, Ian, do you think that this is a limitation of the beta because not enough people were playing?
I mean, yes. But I also think that when DICE made this matchmaking system and the squad system, they didn't anticipate, you know, that so many unskilled players could be matched up with, you know, these high-level ranking people. They wanted to go in, you know, say, this is your squad, these are your teammates, you know, go fight with them, and they didn't, I don't think they put into consideration, you know, people's skill levels in this.
Well, this is kind of normal because they kind of had the same issue with the last beta, last year's beta for the first Battlefront.
Was that two years ago?
I don't know. I lose track of time. They did the same thing, and I really think it has to do with just it being in beta. I feel like they're probably opening up a portion of their servers,
right?
And not quite the full thing, because I know the graphics significantly got so much better with the game.
The graphics in this one are beautiful.
I can't imagine even on a disc. Are you going to download or purchase disc? Just wondering. Yeah. I feel like that's the best way to go. Something I was reading about it, which is really interesting, and I'm quite jealous of you. So apparently, did you know this, Derek? Apparently, you could all of the credits you've earned, everything you've earned from this beta will actually carry over to the game. They call it the Founder's Crate.
Yeah, I mean, that's not super uncommon. As betas are becoming more popular and they're becoming a pre-order incentive, a lot of people don't want to have to start over from scratch all the time. So most games do that.
I did not know that. Now I'm happy because in the original beta, from the first one, that did not happen.
Yeah, exactly. That pissed off a lot of people because they had put in so much time and they had all the best blasters and no, they couldn't. They carry over. Actually, I think it's the contrary to what you're saying, Derek. I know a lot of betas that go out and people are just pissed. They don't get anything.
Recently?
Yeah.
What?
Man, what did we just play? We just played a game. I'm trying to think of it. We literally just played a game, and I was like, that sucks.
It's been a common practice more recently than it has been in the past, of course, but that's because in the past you had to sign up for a beta, versus now where betas are pre-order incentives, right? Pre-order the game, and you get access to the three-day beta, right? And if you want to incentivize people, then you don't want to make them do, you know, busy work by repeating stuff they've already done. So that's kind of the big thing now is if you're going to have a beta as part of a pre-order incentive, most of the time you get to keep that stuff.
Well, and so it makes sense. There's another thing that people are very, very pissed about, which is, you know how they have said that the DLC in this game is going to be free for everyone. Whatever they release, everyone can get, which is good. No one's pissed about that. Everyone's very happy about that. But it looks like EA is going towards microtransactions in this game. And so that being said, you know, if you rack up enough credits or if you spend enough money, you can buy all these different star cards and level up your characters, level up your weapons, and, you know, you could just demolish the whole battlefield as opposed to someone else. Yes.
So that's a problem.
So that,
to me, that sounds like you're telling me if I have enough money, I can technically be a better player because I have better stuff.
It's pay to win.
Yeah.
Right? It's pay to win.
I hate that.
It's part of what got me out of playing Hearthstone. Because, yeah, if you can sit there and grind, you can get some good cards, or you can drop $100 on a bunch of packs and get the cards that way. This sounds like that same kind of thing. And, you know, this has been going on in Halo and Call of Duty, where in any of these multiplayer experiences, you just get better armor, and so new players don't really stand much of a chance.
Yeah, correct. So
that's very disappointing.
It is. Now, a lot of people, and I do mean a lot of people, have took to the forums and said, this is bullshit. You guys said that, you know, this is going to, you know, no buying DLC. This is going to be a, you know, a free thing for everyone. And then you go up and you do these microtransactions. EA is, they replied to that. They said, we will definitely be looking into this. So they may have, you know, realized, oopsies, we made a mistake.
I hope so, because EA is notorious for this shit.
Because
they love to sell you half a game.
The type of transaction is important. So in games like Overwatch or Destiny 2, it's cosmetic stuff that you're paying for. And if you want to drop $50, $100, $200 on cosmetic stuff, hey, knock yourself out, have a good time. But it doesn't make you a better player. It doesn't make you more powerful. It just makes you look a particular
Correct.
Way. And I'm okay with that, because obviously these companies have to make money some way, and if DLC is going to be free, they have to recoup those expenses. But I don't want to lose because other people can just spend more money than me.
Correct, yes.
See, that pisses me off. Yeah, that's the part that really pisses me off, is that was kind of there's a few other games I've played like that you just...
And no one knew about it until now.
By the way,
this is kind of just a very big blindside. Yeah, no one knew about this pay-to-play or pay-to-win until the beta. And they're like, oh, so we just got these. Because what they have now, they have these things called loot crates. And if you know, rack up enough points in the game or whatever, you can get a crate, unlock it, and you'll get abilities for your star cards to upgrade your characters, different levels of star cards, vehicle enhancements, weapon enhancements, what have you. And so you can go and you can purchase just a straight-up vehicle crate and get a ton of good vehicle stuff. You can purchase an assault crate for just the assault trooper class. But say you just open up regular crates, it's a mixture. Say you like playing the assault class a lot, but, you know, you open up three crates and it's just heavy enhancements for that trooper class. So, you know, you're screwed on that one, kind of.
That's funny, because that's a lot. That's very much, and this is obviously an EA game as well. I think they started that, the crate thing with Battlefield 1. That one is very much the same way, exactly what you just described. It's laid out the exact same way. Basically, you have all these crates, and that's why I stopped playing the game, is because people could purchase specific crates, specific guns, and that kind of pisses me off. So I hope they come up with something, because that's just not fair to the players that
I agree,
don't want to spend
the money.
Especially,
you have these, kids who love Battlefront, and, do you think they're going to, half the parents are going to be like, here, use my credit card, rack up $100 on a new blaster. Have fun, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Your ass waits till Christmas, and this is
exactly.
The only gift you get, right? This is the only gift you get, and no, it's going to be a grind. Like Derek said, it's a grind, because they're catering mm-hmm. towards their greed. But I mean, we can dog on EA all day, but
so
I mean, I could tell you how they ruined Dungeon Master. So
couple things that I'm very excited for is in the previous game there was very limited number of heroes and villains to choose from. They upped that.
I will tell
lot.
You right now, they have upped that significantly.
I'm pumped.
You will mainly see the ground heroes, obviously, on Galactic Assault and Strike, some co-op stuff, offline modes, perhaps. But we did see a lot of the heroes used in Galactic Assault, obviously, because, it's an assault on the planet, so makes sense to have heroes. They have announced, I believe, 5 heroes so far, and that is...
They've got a hero from
every
era. Well,
they have
era,
multiple heroes from
so,
different eras.
So,
and obviously ones they haven't released yet.
Well, they've said, at the minimum,
correct.
They've got
one. So they have Darth Maul, they have Rey, Han Solo, Darth Vader, and
Kylo Ren is in.
And there's a plethora of others that have not been announced
yet.
Someone, I guess, hacked into the beta to read some of the files, and they said that there is a General Grievous file, so he'll be playable. There is, I believe they read an Ahsoka one, which would be cool.
Man, she's so
underrated.
They
also said there's Princess Leia is back, obviously. And I can't remember her new name from the movie. Rose, I believe, is one of the new characters being introduced in The Last Jedi. And she's supposed to be in it.
Sorry. Oh. You've got Rey, Darth
yes.
Maul,
oh,
Yoda.
I forgot about Yoda.
I forgot Yoda. Obviously, Rey. But
Captain Phasma and Finn.
Yeah, they're looking at a roster of 15.
Supposedly, yes.
So, Han Solo,
yes, Han is
probably,
in it.
Probably older Luke.
Luke Skywalker is not confirmed, but I think I saw him in a trailer, so I assume he's in it. So that's Galactic Assault in a nutshell. Some things that I still am kind of questioning on, there's no time limit. Like, in the last Galactic Assault, there was a time limit. For certain things. And this one, it is basically you just try and hit the enemy as hard as you can until the reinforcements are depleted and you win. So, it's nice because you get to keep on in that game, you don't have a time limit, but at the same time, it can get very repetitive and very kind of, alright, let's go do this one again. Let's go do this one again. So, hopefully they'll tweak that a little bit too.
So you're just moving from point to point on the map, but it kind of gets repetitive.
It does,
you're going
yes.
To the same point.
Because you don't like it's one of those big MTT droid tanks that you have to try and stop before it reaches the palace, and then that's phase two is getting inside the palace,
right.
And phase three is protecting the throne room so the droids can't get in there. And then you have Starfighter Assault. And that has been completely, built from the ground up. Totally redone. So it's, I believe, just the Starfighter Assault and the Starfighters in general are being developed by Criterion Games. That sounds correct. Criterion Games. And so, do you remember, John, on the directional pad, you could hit a button and you could do like a inverted loop or what have you?
Right. Yeah, you can make correct. The
well,
thing
that is
flip.
Completely gone. That is you control that yourself. And
okay,
it is hard
cool.
as shit.
I could see that. So it's very difficult to do a
like a barrel roll.
What do they call that? I'm just gonna say whirly okay. durly. barrel roll. Barrel roll is the word.
Do
I'm
a barrel
there
roll.
There we go. It's when I first got it. I you know using my I play on a PS4 by the way. I don't know if that matters or not, but
yeah, it's the superior
it
console.
Is.
That's
so when. I use the left joystick that controls my, you know, left and right, and then the right one is up and down. And so when I first did it, I crashed at least 15 times because I couldn't control the damn thing.
Yeah. It's, no, I remember it being a little
challenging. It's very, very tricky. And gone also is the locking system. You do not lock on anymore when you fire. It is just you fire and hope to God you hit a target.
I wonder if they added these things and removed these things to increase the to make it more challenging.
It is more challenging. When you
or do you think they did that to cut back on
well,
programming?
I mean, I think it's more challenging because when you do fire, there's in your crosshairs is a little circle that if you hit that circle, that means you're hitting your target. So you can like look at the circle and hope to God that you hit it, but there's no locking unless you fire a missile of some kind. That is the only kind of locking there is.
That's interesting.
But the map that they have, it's,
I like
it's
it,
fun.
Though.
The map they have on the beta is the Battle Over Fondor. And that is where you have rebellion ships trying to destroy a docked Star Destroyer. And obviously you have the Empire trying to, you know, stop them from doing that. Some cool things that they added in that they did not have in the original Battlefront was... They have support ships now. Support ships being the Rebels have the blockade runners, and the Imperials have these carriers that are in the Rebels TV show. And so you have to destroy those, destroy the turrets on top of those, so you can get your fighters through. It's very objective-based, and the fact that there are also classes in the Starfighter Assault. So you have your regular Assault Fighter, which is your X-Wing or your TIE Fighter. You have your advanced ship, which is a bit more speed, a bit more maneuverability, which is your A-Wing and your TIE Interceptor. And then for the first time, you now have a bomber class. So you have TIE Bombers and you have Y-Wings. So those are really fun to play.
Damn.
For example, the TIE Bomber versus the TIE Fighter... You will notice a difference in how the ship flies. It is a slower ship, but it has more armament. So there is very much, you can tell, you know, oh, if I need a fast ship to destroy these fighters for this objective, use a TIE fighter. If I need to take out these corvettes, I will choose a bomber. So you really need to know what mm-hmm. objective is being played at the moment and what fighter will best suit that.
Well, I'm glad they upped that because they were kind of... suffering in the last game with lack of battles
yes.
in the air. So that's really nice. Yeah, that's the one thing I remember being like, oh, this would be so much cooler if we could have more open world up there.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Correct.
Free reign, but
they
it sounds
did.
Like they upped that.
So far, Fondor is that map. I know there is the Battle of Ryloth for the Clone Wars campaign. I believe the Death Star 2 has a battle. Actually, here, really quick, I have the 11 locations. So, before I get into the final one, which is Strike, the first Battlefront had 4 maps, 4 planets you could visit with individual game modes on that map. And then they had a bunch of DLC for other places. But this one, you have Naboo, Kamino, Kashyyyk, Endor, Death Star 2, Hoth, Mos Eisley, Yavin 4, Jakku, Takodana and Starkiller Base as your main locations that are going to be in the base game. So that's a huge improvement.
Damn, that's good. Yeah, that's a lot.
They will have Ryloth for a space battle. They will have a space battle over Kamino, I believe, as well. And a few other locations they are keeping secret for possible DLC releases.
Hmm. I'm excited. Do you think, off the top of your head, and I haven't really looked into this very much, do you think that the single-player campaign is going to be co-op, local co-op?
I hope.
I cannot imagine they're going to have local co-op.
I don't think it is.
I hope there's local co-op.
There is local
co-op.
It's offline. It's an offline mode. It is local co-op. And there was a bit of that I saw on there that you get it's a split screen kind of deal. But for a single player campaign, I don't believe there is. No.
That would be cool. I think that would be a nice added touch. But again, we can't wish for everything, right?
Very true.
So, do you remember playing the original Battlefront 1 and 2 for PlayStation? I believe it was PlayStation 2 or PS1?
Oh, for sure.
No, it was
PlayStation
2. How do you think this compares so far to that game?
Okay. So, obviously, graphics, you know. Because
that was my favorite one of all time. It,
so.
Oh, yeah.
Gone. I do miss in the original Battlefront and Battlefront 2, where you could just walk up to a ship and get in it and fly and do whatever you wanted. I do miss that. In this one, they have actually gotten rid of the tokens that you had on the playing field, the blue ones. So those are gone. You can no longer...
Right.
Those are abilities. Those are either in pre-established star cards, or every single time you play the objective, you kill a fighter... You destroy something, what have you, you earn battle points. And battle points are what get you those reinforcements that would have been in the first game. You would have gotten that token, play as a hero, whatever. You get these now with battle points.
They're just trying to really pitch their own internal
economy,
aren't they?
So the thing about battle points, though, is that
everything's battle points.
People have already found a way to cheat the system, surprisingly. You know, it takes about 3,000 to 5,000 battle points to unlock heroes. One will be 3,000, one will be 5,000. Darth Maul, I believe, is 5,000 battle points, which over time you can rack up really easily if you play the objective, stick with your squad mates, and what have you. But if you, you know, say someone is Darth Maul, and they get that person, they get to play Darth Maul. And Darth Maul, by the way, is completely savage in this game. Like, I guarantee you, they're...
Oh, dude, he was savage in the old
one. They're
going to
nerf at least half of his stuff in this, because he is way too powerful in this game. Yeah. I'm sorry. But he, you know, you can rack up, you know, your 5,000 battle points within at least 2 minutes playing as him, depending on how many people you kill. And, you know, if someone does that and they then die as Darth Maul, guess what? They can be Darth Maul again while you're sitting there, you know, with 2,000 battle points trying to rack it up to be Darth Maul, and that person is Darth Maul yet again. So they found a way to cheat the system that way, which is pissing off a lot of people as well.
Interesting.
Damn.
Well, okay, so I'm curious, though. I need your sales pitch here. Why should somebody like me...
Yeah.
Who prefers, you know, campaign modes and prefers, you know, the lack of, and someone that does not like microtransactions, why should I buy this game?
All right, well, so, it's, I mean, you do get a single-player campaign. That is for sure. You get to experience a single-player campaign, that a lot of the Star Wars games do not do. A lot of the Star Wars single-player stuff, you are the good guys. You are the Rebellion. You're the Jedi. You're, you know, whoever. Very rarely do you get to play the bad guys and see what they are and see what they go through and see how they, you know, see the story from their eyes. So I think that's one of the cooler things about that. Two, you get not only do you get to play as a very, very cool female protagonist, but you get to play as the whole squad, I am told. So, you know, certain missions, maybe, you know, you get the this person, because there's three members to that squad, and each one has a different, you know, one's maybe like more of like a demolitions expert, the other one's more of a fighter expert, what have you. So I believe you get to play as all three of those characters.
Yeah, that's very much like Halo ODST, which I think is still my favorite of the whole franchise, because you got to move around as these different characters, and you didn't always play the superhuman Master Chief. So that's really interesting.
And like I said, that's a rumor that's not been confirmed, but it looks like they are gearing towards that. You get to do that. You get to play as the Empire. You get to destroy the rebel scum as they are. And you get to find out a lot of stuff. You get to find out what happened to the Emperor. Is he really dead? You know, you get to find out how the First Order came to be. Yeah.
Do you want Palpatine?
So,
oh. Dude, that motherfucker lives forever.
He does. But, I mean, I know I'm getting this because I am a big Star Wars fan. And there's not been a good Star Wars single-player campaign in a while, in my opinion.
Since, well, there was PC, the movement of the Swartar.
There was that.
Star Wars Knights of the Republic.
I mean,
stuff.
And I, you know, played that at a friend's house for a few times, but I really couldn't get into it. It just wasn't my thing. I didn't like it that much.
It's turn-based. I don't like turn-based.
Exactly.
In the story.
I like a solid single-player campaign. You get to go through, you get to see everything the Empire sees, you get to know what happens, you get to see why the Rebellion broke up, why the Rebellion is now called the Resistance. You get 30 years of a story within, you know, hopefully 10-plus hours of gameplay, depending on what they do. As for the multiplayer stuff, it is still fun. You get to play again as the clones, as the Separatists. You get to play as Yoda. You get to visit all these iconic locations, plus more. They said that in their DLCs, they're not going to be necessarily, you know, themed like they were in the first one, but they will have certain things. Like, they may do one that is, you know, very much a Clone Wars-based thing. So it may have, like, a little bit of a theme to it, but, like, you know, they'll have, you know, Clone Wars just heroes for the DLC. So they may have, you know, Ahsoka, Asajj Ventress, maybe Cad Bane, Obi-Wan adding into the story. Because they do have a mode called Heroes versus Villains, and I can't imagine, you know, them only having 10 heroes and villains and calling it good. They have to have more than that to fill it out.
They do. I think if they're sticking at 15 or more,
it needs to be. The original Battlefront 2, I believe, had around 25 to 30 heroes and villains.
Let me double check.
Because that was they had a lot in there. But, I mean, it's so far, if I'm having fun on the multiplayer, and that's with other characters, or other people that I don't even know, or other skill levels, then I will have fun as a single player, in the single player campaign.
Okay. Fair enough. Alright.
17. Okay. 17. Yep.
Well, I think that's probably a good place then for us to wrap things up. Ian, is there any final thoughts on the beta that you want the world to know before it ends on the Wednesday?
Remember that you can go, if you are playing the beta, go to the Battlefront 2 official forums, and you can type out what you want. You can complain as much as you want, or you can praise as much as you want. The developers listen to you. They, you know, listen to all the complaints from the first game, and they are trying to fix that for the second game. They're adding some stuff that's pissing off people, but they're also doing a lot of good that people wanted. So, you know, beggars can't be choosers. You can't please everyone. We all know that. We all know that. But right. So far, as a person who played the first Battlefront game, I enjoyed it. Did I want more from it? Of course. I know I am, you know, it's worth however much it is worth that I'm paying for this game. So go to the forums, talk to people on there. And maybe they are experiencing something that you're not. And you can, you know, say, hey, I experienced this. And they could be like, oh, that's cool, because there are some things I was reading on there that I did not experience as a player. I had a relatively fun experience, while other people apparently had just total shit experiences. Maybe that's just because of who they were paired with. I'm not sure. But remember, it is still a beta. It is not fully out yet until November 17th.
17.
So, you know, give it a try. If you can download it, even for a day, try downloading it. See if you can have some fun with it. But, you know, go into it open-minded and know that, remember, this is still very much a beta.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Ian, thank you very much for coming on the show for us today as our Star Wars experts.
Expert.
you run with that. Title.
I will. That's gonna be my nameplate at work now.
Star Wars expert.
If people want to get a hold of you out in the social media universe, how would they do
that? They can get a hold of me at my Facebook page, which is House of Turner Cosplay. They can get a hold of me by commenting on the Costume Couture videos on YouTube. We read those comments, and we will interact with all the lovely fans on there.
That's right, and Costume Couture is returning next week.
Yes, so we have...
You guys had a little break.
We did, and we have some new fun episodes and some fun guests coming on, so we can't wait for that.
Awesome, awesome. And don't forget, everybody, to leave us a review on iTunes. We're still running our contest, and we did get a new review.
Yay.
We're up to three now.
Yeah.
So Avenger ZS joins the ranks. They gave us a 5-star review and said, titled Entertaining, and they said that we quality gaming discussion is what the review says. So I will take it. That's a very nice review. It's 5 stars. So your review does not have to be 5 stars, but go out to our iTunes page. If you don't know how to get there, go to heroespodcast.com and click the big button for Gamer Heroes and drop us a review. Once we hit 10 reviews, we will randomly select one of the people who have reviewed the show, and you will win a free game. Console, PC, AAA, Indie. We'll talk to the winner about it, so that way it's a game you actually want to play. Maybe it'll be Battlefront 2, but we gotta get the 10 reviews first. So go check that out. Do that. We will be back next week. Again, on Tuesdays, our new day, Tuesdays instead of Fridays. So check us out at Heroes Podcasts on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Or you can contact us directly, contact@heroespodcast.com.
And that was a mouthful. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I had to get my 2 cents in there.
We try our best. I know that's a lot of stuff, but that's, you know, that's the busy work, which is why we leave it for the
there
end.
You go.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will catch you next week.
See you next time.